Chapter 2.
Jessamine, watch out!
I shouted. My raven-haired wife turned around just in time to see the beast's arms coming down over her, and she shrieked. I swam over as fast as I could and tried to grapple with the huge octopus, but I soon realized the motherfucker was at least twice as strong as the one I'd managed to pull off Sienna. Its arms had started to close around Jessamine's neck, and my efforts to save my wife didn't seem like they were working.
Shit!
Sienna yelped, and I realized she'd seen what was going on. Suddenly, time froze for the two of us, and I gasped with relief. Then I noticed the most amazing thing. The octopus's arms were no longer entwined around Jessamine's neck. The limbs hovered a fraction above and behind her, and as I stared, I realized it was as if time had actually reversed itself to the moment before she'd become completely entrapped. So I quickly pulled the dark-haired princess away from the octopus's arms, and then I tugged her and Ariana through the water to a safe position near Sienna, who was about 15 feet away from the huge beast. When I turned around to look at my blonde wife, I saw her mouth was hanging open.
Joe, what the hell just happened?
Sienna managed to get out.
Did you see?
Sienna, I think you actually reversed time for a minute, I exclaimed. That was incredible!
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
The blonde mumbled, but she looked exhausted as she drooped where she floated.
I didn't mean to do it, but it drained me a lot.
Hang in there and just listen to me for a second. As soon as time starts again, I'm going to yell for Ariana to put up her bubble around you three princesses, and then I'm going to take on this last octopus once and for all. At least, I hope it's the last one. I shuddered at the thought of running into even more of these assholes, and I grabbed Sienna's hand to give her strength. When I felt sparks pass between our palms and saw a flash of gold in front of my eyes, I hoped I'd given her at least a little bit more energy. One of the benefits of my special hero's relationship with the princesses was that when we touched, we could enhance one another's magic powers, and I had to admit it was fucking awesome. The ocean began to roar again around me, and Jessamine immediately put her hands up to her neck to try to wrestle the octopus's arms away again. When she realized they were no longer there, she gasped with shock.
What?
The dark-haired princess mumbled as she looked around in confusion. It's okay, you're safe, I assured her. But Ariana, put your barrier up around the three of you now.
Yes, Joe,
the redhead replied and did as I asked, and I was relieved when I knew the princesses would be safe for the time being. When I glanced back over at the huge octopus, its eyes looked even larger, and its limbs were frozen in place as if it were stunned. I held up Genie's wrath. The stone flashed, and I could have sworn the huge animal looked at me with intelligence in its eyes before it swiftly turned and retreated back into the seaweed. Fuck. What now? I muttered to myself. I could barely see its glittering black eyes, which were the size of golf balls, but at least they let me know it was still there. I turned around to make sure the princesses were all right, and I could see them holding hands for strength within the invisible confines of Ariana's protective bubble. Then I faced my opponent again. Guess it's just me and you, fucker. I held my position and wagered on the fact that the octopus would make its way out of the weeds and rocks again to come and get me. However, it appeared we were in a showdown for a couple of long moments. The blue-spotted monster stared me down, and I tried to consider my next move. I wasn't too worried until the octopus shifted, and I suddenly lost sight of its eyes. So I raised Genie's wrath into an attack position and waited to strike out if it charged me, but nothing seemed to be happening. Then I saw a strange, blobby mass of what sort of looked like seaweed headed toward me. The blob was approximately my size, and I shrunk back for a moment in horror. I knew it was the camouflaged octopus, but my eyes were having trouble making sense of what I was looking at, since the blob was only vaguely shaped like an animal. Its eight legs appeared exactly like strands of seaweed, and its head only barely stood out from the surrounding water. The beast was moving slowly, but I knew it could strike out at any minute, and I needed to clear my head. It suddenly occurred to me the animal was still far enough away for me to try to strike it with a bolt from Genie's wrath. So, as quickly as I could, I held up my sword and shot a blast out toward the strange-looking creature. Purple streams of lightning flew forward and hit the blob right in its center, and I saw a spurt of gooey blue liquid spiral out through the water. Its body became more visible once I'd injured it, and I was relieved to see the outline of an actual octopus again. However, the beast was so large I realized I wasn't able to kill it with one strike. It was getting closer, and I was afraid I didn't have time for Genie's wrath to charge again. I decided it was time to go on the offensive, so I began to swim toward the monster with my sword in one hand. The octopus opened its sharp beak and hissed in what looked like an attempt to shoot venom, but I could tell I'd injured it badly. The giant octopus reached out toward my face with its seaweedy arms, and for a moment I had a vision of being trapped the way Jessamine had. Then I slashed out with Genie's wrath toward the beast's leafy limbs, and I managed to remove four of them from its body. The fishy blue blood that gushed out from the cuts was as disgusting as ever, but I sensed victory was within my grasp. So I dared to swim a little closer and higher, and then I raised Genie's wrath high in the water before I brought it down on top of the octopus's head, in what I hoped would be the final blow. The sensation was like a butter knife cutting through jello, and that, combined with the smell of its blood, made me dry heave for a moment. The huge beast was still twitching around on the seafloor, so I stabbed it one last time through its disgusting eyeball to ensure it would die. I felt its giant eye pop under the tip of Genie's wrath, and I almost completely lost my breakfast from earlier. Even with the salt water to rinse the residue away, being coated in a cloud of slimy, fishy blood was still pretty gross. Once I was sure the giant octopus was dead, I turned around and noticed the princesses were all swimming back toward me.
Joe, that was amazing. That thing was huge. And I can't believe Sienna reversed time. She told us all about it while you were fighting.
I know. She was incredible. And that final fight was intense. I'm glad I won, but I missed having you all there fighting beside me.
It seems like your powers have gotten a lot stronger, Sienna.
Jessamine continued as she turned to the blonde with a bright smile.
I'm so proud to call you my sister wife. Yeah, I felt I could hold my spells longer since Ariana's ritual, but this was something new.
Sienna admitted, and then she kissed me on the cheek.
Joe, you were amazing, but you still taste like octopus blood.
Sorry. I guess no one's in the mood for calamari now.
Are you talking about eating that thing?
Jessamine asked as she wrinkled her nose.
Joe, between your egg muffin this morning and now this, I think they must eat some pretty weird stuff where you came from.
Octopus is delicious,
Ariana interjected, and I noticed my red-haired wife was swimming shyly off to the side.
But I've never seen one this big before. In any case, I'm just glad you're okay, Joe.
Thanks, Ariana, I replied, and I pulled my wives in for a hug. Oh, I couldn't have done it without you three killing those other octopuses. We all fight together, we all win together. Team Joe!
The increase in Sienna's powers is interesting. I've been thinking about other ways we can increase our powers, and I've thought we may be able to combine them in new ways using science.
She was interrupted by the sound of cheers from behind us, and we looked back at Cordelia's farmhouse where a small crowd of merpeople were all clapping.
It appears we have some admirers,
Jessamine commented with a grin.
I guess we should go talk to them.
Ariana said, and a huge flush spread up from her chest. Yeah, it seems like they saw us kill the octopuses, I replied, as I rubbed the back of my neck. And they are our royal subjects.
Let's go over there so they can compliment us,
Jessamine said with a huge smile as she wiggled with excitement.
Come on, hero. Or should I say, heroes?
Well, when you put it that way, I grinned and grabbed her arm. Time to meet our adoring fans. We swam closer to where the merpeople had gathered to watch the fight, and Cordelia swam toward us. A tall, handsome merman with blonde hair trailed behind her with the little boy in his arms. And I assumed it had to be her returned husband.
Princess Ariana, Your Highness, I'd love to introduce you to my husband, Kai.
Cordelia exclaimed.
I know, he's so honored to meet you.
Your Highness. The merman dropped his torso into a deep bow. I can't thank you enough for what you've done for my family. From taking care of Cordelia and our son while I was gone, to overseeing our home repairs, to protecting our house from these octopuses, our family will never be able to repay you.
No repayment is necessary,
Ariana assured Kai.
It's our job to take care of our citizens, and I have a particular soft spot for your wife and son. I'd also like to introduce you to my husband, Joe, and these are Princesses Sienna and Jessamine.
Both Cordelia and Kai dropped into bows upon our introductions.
We're her sister wives,
Jessamine told the couple as she looked directly at them with unflinching dark eyes, and Ariana blushed even deeper. It seemed like this was the first time the mermaid's new marriage situation had been discussed with any of her citizens, so I understood why she was stuttering a bit. Ariana was so cute and shy. To their credit, Kai and Cordelia didn't miss a beat when they learned of Ariana's untraditional marriage. They both smiled at us and nodded politely, and I was sure my red-haired wife was relieved.
Thank you again, Your Highness. Your Highnesses, Joe, are you sure I can't offer you something to drink?
To be honest, I could use something after that fight, I chuckled. I didn't want to speak for the princesses, but it seemed like breakfast had been a long time ago.
Of course. Please, come see our home. You can see the progress that's been made on its reconstruction.
The princesses and I followed Kai and Cordelia into the house that now had a frame for both its roof and walls, and I could hear hammering from outside, which gave me an idea. After we have that drink, I'd love to see how they're fixing your place, I told the young couple. I used to repair things back home, and I'm always interested in that sort of thing. It wasn't a lie. I really did enjoy repairing things, but I was also interested in interacting with some merfolk on a more casual basis. It was still insane to me that I was actually breathing underwater and speaking with fish people, and I wanted to get to know them better. Plus, they were kind of my people, too, now that I was Ariana's husband.
Yeah, I like fixing things, too, Kai nodded at me. Let's have a bottle of ale, and then I can show you more about how we're plastering the exterior walls.
Cordelia grabbed a few bottles from a chest in the corner, and she passed them out to me and the princesses. Then she handed another one to her husband and kept the last one for herself.
Please, sit.
The brown-haired mermaid told us, and she gestured to a set of black rock furniture that had clearly been replaced since Morgar's attack. The princesses and I settled down onto couches and chairs, and Cordelia and Kai soon followed and sat opposite us. Their little boy was still holding onto his ball as he wandered around the room, and Cordelia addressed him now.
Dylan, come sit with Mommy.
Dylan swam over, and his mother pulled him onto her lap, where he sat and stared at Ariana.
Pretty,
the little boy mumbled around the thumb that was always in his mouth, and we all laughed gently.
Yes, Princess Ariana is pretty,
Cordelia agreed with a warm smile.
And she is tough, too. I know the entire kingdom is grateful to you for destroying Morgar, but my family in particular would like to express our gratitude. When our home was destroyed, it was the worst moment of my life. But now, I have a sense of hope again, and it's all thanks to you.
Yes, thanks again.
Kai nodded vigorously, and then he squeezed his wife's hand.
It's been a terrifying time in our kingdom, as I'm sure you well know. Once the possibility of random attacks gets in your head, it's impossible to relax. Even before Morgar destroyed our home, we'd been living in fear for a long time. It seemed like everyone in the kingdom knew someone who'd been choked by a cloud of poison or attacked by his terrible shocks. And I couldn't believe it when I returned and our family had become his victims. Cordelia's sister had been hit by a cloud of poison, but we are so grateful she has recovered. Thanks to all of you, things are starting to look up.
Yes, Things have been so terrible,
Cordelia said with a shudder.
And then when Kai was missing, of course I feared the worst.
Yes, Kai. We're all so glad you returned safely,
Ariana told the merman. It was crazy, the merman muttered with wide eyes and shook his head. My buddy had heard of a place called the Pirate's Boneyard. I'm assuming you know what that is? Kai looked around at us and we all nodded. The Pirate's Boneyard was a deep trench filled with countless sunken ships, and it was where we'd found the hero's potion that saved Ariana's advisor, Marinus.
Yes, we visited ourselves. Please, go on.
So, my friend wanted to go see the ships while we were out fishing, and it sounded like it could be fun. We didn't realize how far away it was at first, so just getting there was our first obstacle. I knew Cordelia would be worried, but it got so late we were forced to stop. I have to admit we spent some time the next day poking around on the sunken ships for a little bit, but then I told my friend I had to get home. Unfortunately, we started to swim in the opposite direction of the kingdom, and we got lost out in the wilds of the sea for a few days.
Thank the gods you had your strongest spear with you,
Cordelia replied, and I could see a shiver run down the young mermaid's body.
If anything happened to you, I have no idea what Dylan and I would do.
I know. I know.
Kai shook his head and looked at his wife with regret in his eyes.
If I could go back, oh, there's no way I would have headed out to the boneyard in the first place. At least we were able to forage for edible plants and catch fish. But we saw some really weird stuff out there. Have you seen the fish with lanterns on the front of their heads? And these gross sharks?
Did they have teeth like people?
Jessamine interjected as she leaned forward in her seat.
Because I think we saw those too.
Yes, that's them,
the merman replied with his lips curled up in disgust.
Wow, those were nasty. Luckily, we only ran into a couple, but when I speared one, the grossest, gooey orange blood came out.
We fought hundreds of them at once,
Sienna told Kai and Cordelia, and she wrinkled her nose.
We were absolutely covered in that goo.
Thank goodness the hero was there to save us,
Jessamine said as she squeezed my arm, and Kai and Cordelia nodded politely. I could tell the couple didn't know about the hero's legend, and I wasn't surprised, given how Ariana hadn't heard of it before we'd met her either. It seemed it was my destiny to work alongside the princesses to defeat Chernabog, the great demon who threatened all of Fairyland. But that was a lot to explain right now.
In any case, I made it home safely, and our family is back together now,
Kai said, and he squeezed his wife tightly around her shoulders.
We've heard there's still a witch, though,
Cordelia said, and wrung her hands.
So, we aren't completely at ease yet. I suppose you can't tell us anything about that?
Cordelia, Kai, all you need to know is alongside Joe, the other princesses, and my father, I am going to protect our kingdom and keep you and little Dylan safe.
Ariana vowed in a firm voice, and I nodded.
Morgar first, Eudora next.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Cordelia sighed with relief, and she leaned down to kiss the top of Dylan's head as he wiggled in her lap.
So, Joe, you said you wanted to see what we were doing with the home repairs.
Kai spoke up after a few moments of silence, and he drained his bottle of ale and set it down on the table that sat between us.
Come outside, and I'll introduce you to the crew.
Sounds good, I replied, and I looked at my wives. Are all of you all right in here?
Of course, Joe. We love to stay and talk to Cordelia some more.
Great. I'll see you in a few minutes then, I responded, and I stood up to follow Kai out the door. He led me around the side of the house, where two mermen wearing some sort of safety helmets were stuccoing a wall with a glittering material I'd never seen before. When they saw Kai and me, they stopped what they were doing and watched us approach.
Joe, meet Troy and Sam,
Kai introduced us.
These guys are helping me rebuild our house.
I nodded and held out my hand to them.
I'm Troy, pleased to meet you.
A short merman with auburn hair responded with a warm, open smile, and he shook my hand. Sam, who was larger with a thick black beard, approached me with an expression that was almost a sneer. Before I had a chance to prepare, he'd reached out with his palm down and gripped my hand a little too tightly. I could tell he was trying to dominate me, and I returned his power grip and stared him in the eyes until he let go. "Yeah, I'm Joe. Nice to meet you," I muttered, and inwardly rolled my eyes.
"So, a human, huh?"
Sam said as he looked me up and down. "That's right," I nodded as I continued to stare at the man, and I raised an eyebrow.
"So, what's the deal with you and Princess Ariana, anyway?"
the black-bearded merman asked, and I hoped I wasn't going to have to punch someone.
"Hey, Sam, that's a little rude,"
Kai interjected, but I held out a hand and indicated I wanted to answer the question. "Princess Ariana is my wife," I told the black-haired merman, and I continued to stare him down.
"And I see you're traveling with a couple other women, too,"
Sam snickered.
"Are they single, or are you married to them, too?"
"Yeah, actually I am," I replied, and as I watched, the bearded merman's face broke into a huge grin.
"Hey, man, good for you," Sam laughed. "Three wives, huh? That's impressive. And I saw you fighting that giant octopus out there. That was also quite impressive."
"You serious about having three wives?"
Troy cut in. "I am. Princess Ariana is my wife, and so are Princess Sienna and Princess Jessamine."
"They're all princesses?"
Sam asked with his mouth gaping open, and I noticed both of the workmen were staring at me with newfound admiration. "Yep," I shrugged. That was pretty much all I had to say about that, and I was glad when I saw Ariana swim around the corner of the house. "Hey, Ariana, what's up?"
"Oh, Your Highness,"
Troy gasped, and he took off his hat and bowed before Sam followed suit.
"I was just interested in seeing what you were up to out here,"
Ariana replied, and I reached out for her hand.
"I'd been working with the palace scientists to develop some new building materials for the kingdom, and I'm curious to see how they've been working out."
"Yes, Your Highness. The seashell-enhanced plaster has been great," Kai said, and the other two mermen nodded in agreement. "I think it's going to be way stronger if, gods forbid, there's another attack."
"Did you show Joe what we've been doing to reinforce the houses?"
the mermaid asked.
"We were just starting to talk about it,"
Sam said with a smirk, but when I stared him down, he wiped the expression from his face and looked away.
"So we would previously construct houses from stakes we carved from coral,"
Kai began to explain.
"If you stand enough stakes up close together, you have a wall, right?"
"Right," I nodded.
"Until Morgar started attacking people's homes, Joe, the main purpose of walls under the sea was for privacy and to keep fish and other creatures out, since obviously they don't have to be watertight for merpeople,"
Ariana explained.
"Ah, that makes sense. So the plain coral walls were strong enough for that?"
"Yes, that's right. However, we soon realized Morgar's blasts were too strong for just coral to be used anymore. So I spoke with the scientists and began to develop a solution. They were able to create a paste made from sediments from the seafloor mixed with crushed shells. And you know I have the ability to make protective barriers."
"So there's a little magic in there too," I guessed.
"Exactly. But I've been casting the protective spell when the paste is made so any worker can apply it without me having to be there. Obviously, we've been making it in very large batches. And another good thing is we can use it to reinforce existing homes by plastering a couple of layers over the coral stakes."
I loved it when a woman talked construction to me. "That sounds really cool, Ariana," I told her with a grin. "You never cease to amaze me."
"It's just a little thing we've been working on,"
the redhead said and blushed bright pink at the compliment.
"You're helping our kingdom immensely, Your Highness,"
Kai replied, and Ariana's cheeks flushed even darker.
"Well, thank you, Joe, Kai, everyone,"
the mermaid princess murmured. She didn't stutter as much when she was talking to our royal subjects, but there didn't seem to be anything that could stop her from blushing. "Can I help you put some of the plaster up?" I asked Kai. "I haven't done any work like this in a while."
"Be my guest,"
the blonde merman said, and he gestured toward the big tub of glittering plaster and a stack of seashells I saw the men were using as trowels.
"Joe, I'm going to go around back to check the crops again,"
Ariana told me, and I squeezed her hand. I'd been so turned on by her knowledge of all things science and building that I wanted to give her a kiss, but her face was already red enough. "Sure, be careful of any more octopuses, but I'll see you in a little bit," I told her with a big smile, and I turned back to the mermen, who had all turned to watch her swim away. Once the princess had turned the corner, Sam addressed me again.
"Guess you weren't lying about being married to her," the black-bearded merman snickered. "You're definitely a lucky man."
If there was one thing I hated to do, it was to kiss and tell. He was right. I'd gotten lucky enough to marry three princesses so far. And while I appreciated the man's admiration, I certainly wasn't going to do anything to fuck it up. "Hey, man, let's stick to talking about the walls, all right?" I asked. But it wasn't really a question.
"No offense meant," Sam said, and he held his palms up to me in a peace gesture. "If I had beautiful wives like that, I'd want to talk about them all day long."
"Listen, dude, I get that you think it's awesome, but being married to Princess Ariana makes me royalty too, so..." Sam apparently got the point, because he turned around and faced the wall to start stuccoing it again. I grabbed a seashell and some of the magic cement from its tub and began to smooth it down along the coral stakes. Sam had irritated me a little, but doing physical work always helped me to calm down. So I took some deep breaths and tried to get into the rhythm of what I was doing.
"Nice work, Joe,"
Kai called over to me, and I nodded. "Thanks, man," I told him. "So I basically understand the materials we're using here, but what are the larger shards of seashells for?"
"Oh, well, actually, I think the princess just has the scientists make it like that because it's pretty,"
the blonde merman said, and he looked at me warily for a second, like he wasn't sure he should talk about Ariana at all.
"That sounds like her,"
I laughed, and I shot him a reassuring grin, since I thought Kai was pretty cool. I continued plastering the wall, and I had to admit the shiny pieces of shell made for an attractive finish. When I'd done a large strip, I put down my trowel and stood back to admire my work.
"Looks good," Troy praised. "Seems like you have some experience with this sort of thing."
"I've done some handyman work here and there," I told the merman, and then I rubbed my hands off in the water.
"Well, guys, it's been a pleasure working with you, but I think I'm going to find my wives now."
Thanks again for your help, Joe,"
Kai said as he came over, grasped my hand, and pulled me into an undersea approximation of a bro hug. I grinned at the merman's gratitude, and I was happy I'd helped him out. He might not be human, but I'd realized merfolk were just ordinary people with fishtails. They had homes and families, and they just wanted to live a peaceful life with their loved ones, which made me all the more committed to bringing that evil sea hag down and restoring peace to this beautiful underwater kingdom.
"Yeah, it was definitely nice meeting you, and good luck with everything," I told the merman. "Hope things work out better for your family from here on out. Sam, Troy, see you later."
The two other mermen grunted their goodbyes, and I swam around the back of the house to look for Ariana. When I found her, she was kneeling on her tail on the ground and had what appeared to be a giant turnip in her hand. Jessamine and Sienna stood close by to watch what she was doing, which seemed to involve the syringe I'd seen earlier and some sort of test strips. I swam between my two human wives and threw an arm around each of them. Then I smacked them both on the asses and gave them each a kiss on their cheeks. It had been fun helping the mermen do their work, but I was glad to be back with my favorite people. "How are things looking back here?" I asked.
"These crops look great,"
Ariana said, as she looked up and smiled.
"I'm going to continue to collect random samples from around the kingdom. But maybe, hopefully, Marinus was the only one specifically targeted for this sort of attack. I'm definitely going to his house at some point to do this sort of testing there."
"Sounds like a plan," I said, and I flashed her a grin.
"In any case, it's getting sort of late, and I was thinking we could head back to the palace to chill out, as you like to say, Joe."
Ariana looked at me and blinked her big aqua eyes, and a chill ran down my spine. It seemed like chilling out often led to more when the princesses were involved.
"That works for me,"
Sienna said, and then she yawned.
"I want to go somewhere warm."
I wasn't sure if it was my imagination, but a look seemed to pass between the three princesses. "Are you all up to something?" I asked, as I narrowed my eyes at my wives. And when they all immediately shook their heads in unison, I knew they definitely had something planned.
"I don't know what you're talking about, Joe,"
Jessamine said with a bright smile.
"Let's go back to the palace and eat. I'm starving." "Oh, yeah, me too,"
Sienna agreed, and I had to strain to hear the next thing she said because she started to mumble.
"Hungry for Joe."
"What was that, Sienna?" I asked my blonde wife.
"Oh, nothing,"
she replied, and her blue eyes looked uncharacteristically innocent.
"Just ready for a snack, that's all."
I looked over at Ariana, and when I saw she was bright red, I was positive they had something planned for me. I felt my blood run hot throughout my body, and I couldn't wait to get back to the palace. "All right," I said, and I cleared my throat and adjusted my pants. "Let's do this." Ariana led us up and out of Cordelia's fields and back in the direction of the palace, and I thought the princesses were right about it being dinner time. It could be hard to tell the time of day from this far under the sea, but I was getting better at figuring it out since I hadn't had anything approximating a watch or phone for a while now. When the princesses and I reached the palace and Ariana lifted her barrier, I started to head up toward Ariana's chamber, but Jessamine grabbed my arm.
"Not yet, Joe,"
my dark-haired wife said, and I saw she wore a mysterious smile on her face. "All righty. You just tell me where I need to go, and I'm there."
"We're headed back down to the seafloor. Just follow me around the back of the palace."
We swam down around the huge throne room where we'd met Ariana's father, King Liron, and I realized we were in part of the palace grounds I hadn't seen before. Ariana's palace was made of dozens of white towers, and apparently they had doors at the bottom as well. We seemed to pass the door to the kitchen because I could smell the aroma of roasted fish through the water, and my stomach growled for a moment. I didn't see any servants, though, and I found myself enjoying going on a private excursion around the palace with my wives, although I wondered where we were headed. "This is a fun trip," I called out to my wives. "But can anyone tell me where we're going?"
"We're almost there, Joe. In fact, do you see that?"
The back of the palace nearly rested up against the side of a huge cliff, but there were a few hundred yards of space between where the building stopped and the rock face began. And in the middle of that space was a 100-foot-wide circular dome. It sort of reminded me of the top of the Astrodome, but it was transparent. It appeared to be full of steam, and it had a faint glow. "What is that?" I asked. I started to squint as we came closer, and I saw Ariana grinning with pride.
"It's something I created for us,"
she responded with a huge grin still on her face, and it seemed like the red-haired mermaid only got happier and happier the more time she spent with Sienna, Jessamine, and me.
"I may have told you once there were hot springs near the palace. Well, these are the hot springs, but I figured out a way to improve them. You see the dome over there? I created that. It keeps the warm water in, but we can still swim through it so we can have, fun in there."
"It's basically like a giant warm bath you can float around in,"
Jessamine exclaimed, and she clapped her hands together.
"Ariana explained it to us, and we were thinking we could spend some time there this evening."
We reached the edge of the dome, and I peered down into the foggy water. "I don't think I get it," I teased my wives. "Can you explain exactly what we're doing here?"
"Joe, we want to fuck you underwater."
Sienna looked me straight in the eyes before she grabbed my arm to pull me down through the magical barrier.
"Now, get in there."